In this 222nd episode of the Small Scale Life Podcast, I'm going to discuss attending my first beekeeper conference called Beak Meet 2024 and the five lessons I learned from beekeepers at this conference. While I'm not a beekeeper, I found the conference incredibly interesting, educational, and entertaining. I also met with some really great folks at the conference, and I had a chance to connect with some really super awesome people and very good friends from Ohio. So here we go, everybody.
Welcome to the Small Scale Life Podcast. Your hosts, Tom and Julie, talk about wellness, gardening, and connecting to nature and people as we learn, do, grow, and be a little better every day. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome to the Small Scale Life Podcast. I'm your host, Tom, and I'm so thankful that you are here for another conversation about improving your mind, body, and soul as we learn, do, grow, and be a little better every day. For show notes, links, resources, support, and other information, head on over to our website at smallscalelife.com. Let's get on to the topic for this show.
All right, so what is Beak Meet 2024? Beak Meet is the largest beekeeping conference in central Wisconsin. It's a partnership between the Central Wisconsin Beekeepers Association and the North Central Technical College in Wausau, Wisconsin. Now, like I said, I've never been to a beekeeper conference before. So why did I go to this one? Well, the simple answer is I went to go see my friends Greg and Susan Burns. I have been friends with Greg and Susan since probably about 2017 or so. Greg has been on the Small Scale Life Podcast a couple of times, including our second most listened to episode titled Homesteading 101. The links are in the show notes to that. Greg has been to our house a number of times, and each time we get together, we talk about some really deep subjects. It's always a pleasure getting together with Greg, just chewing the fat a while and going places. It's really awesome. So Greg is one of those deep thinkers that I really love talking to. In fact, we planned to record a podcast last time he was at our apartment, so that dates us a little bit back to 2021. But we ended up talking for 3 or 4 hours straight. It was an awesome evening, and I will always cherish those conversations. When Greg posted on Facebook that he was going to be at Beak Meet 2024 in Wausau, Wisconsin, I immediately began to plot and plan how I could go over and see him and listen to his presentation. Wausau is only 2.5 hours east of us, so if Greg and Susan can drive 8 hours, I can get my butt over there and see them, right? At the same time, I could get to meet Brian from Castle Hives from Ohio and Bruce from Bruce's Bees in Alabama. Greg, Brian, and Bruce make up the Stream Team, which is a live streaming collaboration that focuses on beekeeping topics, people, products, and issues all with the beekeeping world. And they get into some other deep stuff as well. It was pretty cool to meet them in person and give them a Small Scale Life coffee mug. So nice to see you guys, Bruce and Brian, as well. Fortunately, things worked out, and I could go to the conference while Jules visited our nieces in Stevens Point at the same time. Then we could all get back together and enjoy a St. Patrick's Day dinner of corned beef and potatoes with my brother and his family. We also watched The Quiet Man, which I've never seen before. So the next question that people always have for me now is, am I getting bees? Well, let me tell you, since going to Beak Meet 2024, a few folks, family and friends, have asked me if I'm getting bees. That's a great question, and a lot of people know how interested I am in bees. In fact, I was planning on getting bees if we stayed at Driftless Oaks Farm, but that was a plan for the farm where we had 10 acres, and we had pollinator gardens and orchards on our property and on the neighbor's properties. In fact, the neighbor just to the east was putting in 40 acres of pollinator gardens. Across the street and just a little north, we had 7 acres of pollinator plants in kind of a natural prairie land. And then just up the road a little bit more was another 2 acres in all pollinator grassland areas. So it was a bonanza for honeybees. But it didn't quite work out that way, did it? Over the years, I've interviewed beekeepers like Michael Jordan, Adam Napier, Daniel Freeman, Greg Burns, all of them on the Small Scale Life Podcast. We've had some really interesting conversations about beekeeping and the business of bees and honey. And since starting my blog in 2014, I visited some apiaries over the years as well. one of my first trips was going to an apiary south of the Twin Cities with our friend Rick. That was his beehives down there. I also went with him to pick up bees that were fresh off the truck from California, and they were a little mean, but that was pretty cool to see as well. I also watched Michael Jordan split one of Donnell Freeman's hives at his homestead near Colorado Springs. That was very cool. It's fascinating to see bees work and do their thing in nature, and I even found some of the research done about bees fascinating, but as much as I like bees, I do not have that plan to add bees here at the landing. For now. Don't tell Jules that. So as I reflect upon the presentations I attended at Beak Meet 2024, I boiled down the information into the following five lessons learned. And here we go. So the first one. Beekeepers come from all walks of life. As I shared some of my photos of the packed classrooms and the vendor areas and the auditorium with my family and friends, you can see those on smallscalelife.com. They all said the same thing. Wow, there's a lot of different people at the conference. Beekeepers aren't just old men. In fact, that was the exact quote from my sister-in-law who picked me up at the conference when it was all done. And yes, indeed, there's a lot of folks at Beak Meet 2024. I don't know what the final numbers were, but I bet it was around 200 to 300 people or so. The auditorium was huge and it was full. And the breakout sessions were at capacity, about 30 to 40 people in each session. People are interested in bees and beekeeping, and they showed up in force. At the same time, I'm not sure where the beekeepers are old men stereotype originated. Perhaps it was because older beekeepers tend to be the face of the industry and the hobby, or it's just because it's the stereotype that young people are just too busy or live too fast of lives to work with bees. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I can honestly say that beekeepers come from all walks of life. Yes, there are a number of old guys working with bees and running the conference, but there are a bunch of young beekeepers and homesteaders, men and women, that are very interested in getting back to the land and living a more holistic life. There are others who want to make meads from honey from their own properties, and there that want to start a small business from income generated from honey, comb, creamed honey, or other products that come from the bees or support the beekeeping industry. It's really a diverse crowd. So lesson two, bees communicate to each other. So should we. The first session I attended was titled Collective Intelligence in Honeybees and Honeybee Dance Language by Dr. David Peck. While the thought of sitting through a boring lecture by an old professor crossed my mind, I mean, doctor working at Cornell University fit the old man stereotype, to be honest, right? I braced myself for boredom and actually had my computer in my backpack. I just didn't know what to expect. But to my surprise, Dr. Peck was not old at all. I think he's younger than me. He was a very good speaker and had a very entertaining and informative presentation about how bees communicate to each other. It was really pretty cool. If you think about it, as the foragers leave the hive, they find pollen sources near the hive. They go all over and they look, and they can go up to like 5 kilometers, I think. It's pretty wild how far a bee will travel to find a pollen source. They evaluate each of the pollen sources and they come back to the hive. By waggling or dancing, the foragers tell other bees about the direction, distance, and quality of the pollen sources, and they can make decisions about what they're going to go hit first, second, and third. It's pretty amazing. And I have to say, too, that this waggling or dancing has been observed all the way back in the ancient times in the Roman Empire. Aristotle was writing about this, so this has been known for a long time. The forager bees use a solar compass to locate the pollen sources and dance to communicate that information to the other bees in the hive. It comes down to how they dance when they return to the hive. So it was fascinating to find out that bees have a better grasp of directions and direction telling and wayfinding than most people without GPS on their cell phone. Bees are communicating to each other about the location and the quality of food sources. They are sharing information with an abundance mindset. In fact, the survival of their hive depends on it. So what's a takeaway from us? Sometimes we get caught up in the ebb and flow of life, especially this time of year when we all hibernate in our homes. Perhaps people are dealing with difficult life issues right now, right? Like you've got all kinds of stuff happening in your life. You've got stresses at work, stresses at home, stresses in the family. You've got kids' activities. You've got other stuff happening, and sometimes you just don't want to go outside when the air typically hurts our face and we got to shovel and slip on the ice, right? We sometimes trudge on alone in our walk of life, like monks or hermits working hard and meditating in a remote mountain monastery. As the weather improves, we need to leave the safety of the hive and brave the outside world in order to connect. In our case, we need to connect with others around us and build our community right here. So we're building community with other hives, right? We're leaving our hive. We're building community with other hives, and we're all coming together as kind of a collective then, right? Or a neighborhood in this case. So this spring, we will be leaving our little hive here. We're going to go out and buzz around the neighborhood here, and we're going to be connecting with and gathering neighbors here. So we're going to go gather these folks and bring them home. We're going to invite them to dinner, break bread with them. We aren't the newest in the neighborhood, but we're still new here. We still need to meet everybody. And Jules and I have the space and we have the motivation to do it. We want to know people living in the small town around us. So it'll all start with food, my love language, frankly, and with us taking the first step. So we're going to leave the safety of the hive. We're going to bring them all in. Now, how are we going to bring them all in? Well, I just need to work on my pollen waggle and communicate that with the neighbors, right? I think that will be a hit, especially in a yellow and black Speedo. What do you think? Do you think that'll work? I think that'll work. So no, just say no to the Speedo. I've lost weight, but I haven't lost that much. Anyway, pressing forward, we'll get that out of your mind. So lesson three is, there are many paths and methods out there. Find one that works for you. One of the presentations was all about wintering bees in Wisconsin. The presenter was talking about using Reflectix insulation board to enclose the hives and keep the bees alive in our harsh winter months. They had seen great results using this method. During the question and answer portion of the session, it was clear that other beekeepers have their favorite methods. One particular beekeeper in the back stated that he had lost all but one hive using the method the presenter was showcasing. The hives had literally iced up inside, killing all the bees. They preferred the tried and true tar paper method, enclosing the hives in black tar paper. The presenter made a good point in response. His method worked for his operation and his apiary. Not all methods work the same everywhere. It really depends on the layout, location, the direction of the apiary, the way it sits on the land. The wind and snow can play a huge factor in the survival of bees using this or any method. As a homesteader and gardener, I know this to be true as well. My friends Donnell Freeman and Jason Gray often talked about using the Polyface Farm chicken tractors in Colorado. And it's special chicken tractors where all the chickens are inside and you move it along the ground. In Colorado, though, it's a different story. The winds would pick up and it would grab the tractors with the chickens inside and fling them down the pasture 100 yards away. So what works for Joe Salatin in Virginia at Polyface Farm did not work in Colorado, where Mother Nature, I think, truly hates people there and seems to change her mind every couple minutes. It's amazing what happens out in Colorado and Wyoming. So I've seen this in gardening too. We plant all the things, right? Every spring, we're so excited. I've got seedlings growing right over here. They're starting to poke through the ground. We plant all of these things, thinking that we can just grow everything and anything in our backyard garden. But environmental conditions, the light, the soil, the water, the temperature, the growing season might not support those plants. In addition, the variety of plant might not be ideal for the zone or that environment. There's a number of varieties out there. Not all are ready for zone 4B, which is short, can be hot, and then it gets cold. That's just the way it is. So I had this experience with blueberries and rhubarb at Driftless Oaks Farm. I figured both should grow really well in that magical loamy clay soil. I planted four blueberry plants, and most of them I got from Seed Savers Exchange in Decorah, Iowa, and four rhubarb plants. I kept the weeds back, I watered them, I fenced off the blueberries so the deer wouldn't eat them down before they got big enough. After a growing season, I had lost all four blueberry plants and two of the four rhubarb plants, and I really was surprised because I didn't think I'd ever lose a rhubarb plant. The thing can withstand a nuclear bomb, I'm serious. But I had a hard time figuring that out, especially as the asparagus, comfrey, potatoes thrived just a few feet away in their own rows. So maybe it was the soil, maybe it was the slope, maybe it was the pests, maybe it was a variety of plants. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is that what works for one person, one homestead, one garden, or one plant might not work universally. We need to figure that out for ourselves. And while we can report what is working and what isn't, we cannot be so rigid and dogmatic as to say, this is the way. There are no other ways or variation from the path. After all, I have been banned from a gardening group before because Tommy Cakes does deviate from the path once in a while. He's not afraid to say it. My friend Amy Dingman from A Farmish Kind of Life, I don't think she's been banned from any garden groups. You'll have to tell us, Amy. Talked about this topic in her podcast episode titled Maybe You're Not a Homesteader that touches on this. So test things, test methods, test techniques for yourself. And know there is no set way in doing things. Have the confidence that if it's working for you, you're doing something right. You can always tweak, adjust, and improve as you learn, do, and grow. And you'll be a little better as you do these things and figure them out yourselves. Now, this is tough to say as a blogger, podcaster, content creator kind of guy, because, you know, sometimes we get stuck in a rut and, yeah, this is the way, but there's a lot of ways. And trust me, friends, a lot of this stuff has been done before. We are not discovering anything new, right? We're just packaging it and selling it to you, essentially. Lesson four, pressing forward before I put my foot in my mouth here. So lesson four. Figure out your business and start. Speaking of business, right? Let me say that not all of us are gifted entrepreneurs and business folk. The same can be said in the beekeeping community. Everybody needs help. Everybody can learn. And it really helps to have people that know what they're talking about. And one of those persons that knows what they're talking about is John Hill from Hillco. He gave an inspiring presentation on how they started his beekeeping supply company, and he summarized some of his lessons learned along the way. For those of us, I'm not a beekeeper, who did not know, Hillco started as a small company and experienced incredible growth since John started the company in January 2020. I was so impressed with his presentation that I tracked him down afterwards. I introduced myself and told him that I appreciated his story and his message. He's a really nice guy and a good talker, too. I invited him on the show, and I'll see if I can get that busy man on the show in the future to talk about starting a small business. I think we could all learn from a person like that. So some of the key points from his presentation included the following. So identify your strengths and, of course, your weaknesses. Think outside the box. That's number two. Number three, be flexible. Learn from your mistakes, correct, pivot, and adjust. Number four, embrace customer service. Really, it's really, really, really poor in current American society. Am I right? I mean, have you experienced that? I know I have. The next one, focus on branding and run with it. Get a business name. Secure a domain for a website. Get a website and an email address. And he had a bunch more tips, and it's probably worth a separate post, actually. So I had to laugh as I listened to the branding portion of the presentation. I was sitting next to a homesteader from the Wausau area, and I had just given him my name, the website, the podcast name, my phone number, and an email on the back of my real-world business card that I use for my regular job. I did not have a small-scale life business card. So I've been doing small scale life things since 2015, and in 9 years, I've never ordered and had small scale life business cards. Yeah. So what the heck, right? How many people have I come across and talked to about small scale life and never gave them a business card to remind them of who I am and what I do? I can honestly say a lot, and it's been all over the country. Well, that changed this week as I created a new business card for Small Scale Life and ordered those up. So I will have business cards going forward. There you go. So get yourself organized, get online, and start, right? That is the key. So lesson number five, be weird. During the expert panel at the end of the Beak Meat conference, there was a particular quote that stuck with me, and I've been thinking about it all week. And here's the quote. It isn't going to be easy. We didn't get into beekeeping because it was easy. We didn't get into beekeeping to get rich. We got into beekeeping because we are weirdos. And that was by David Peck, the doctor from Cornell, right? So this was an amazing quote that drew a lot of laughter because it is absolutely unequivocally true. For me, you can replace beekeeping with homesteading, gardening, canning, seed saving, kombucha brewing, standing barefoot in the snow, plunging in freezing water when it's really cold outside, watching the birds, that's or birding, feeding, watching, building feeders, taking photos, and talking to the birds, and podcasting. I mean, what a weirdo. We are all unique. We are all different. We all approach our small-scale life a little differently. And let's face it, we're all weird. We're all weirdos. So I got interested in homesteading gardening during the crash of 2008. It was a massive wake-up call and a tipping point for me, and I decided right then and there that I would embrace my quote-unquote weirdness and do something different, something meaningful, and something that I could change my and my family's world forever. Later, once I started doing it, I knew that I could inspire people to try and try growing food in a small but incredibly productive garden, canning and preserving food they grew, starting a small business, standing barefoot in the snow, taking a crazy cold plunge in the dead of winter, figuring out what triggers and inflames their bodies by cutting out the processed food, dairy, sugars, and legumes, doing all that stuff, right? Maybe I would inspire somebody. So it's no secret. I've started, stopped several times since 2020 because life knocked us down and kicked us in the stomach, and it hasn't been easy. It was hard to just survive and get through the day at times. We've had to hold on to each other for dear life, and here we are. We've gotten through a lot of that stuff, and here we are. We're still here, and in fact, just like the spring, just like my seedlings, we're coming back to life. Life isn't easy. It isn't always Instagram or Facebook ready or beautiful. It isn't easy like a TV show or movie or HGTV where they take apart a house down to the studs and put it all back together in 20 minutes or less. It's gritty. It's cruel. It can be frustrating. It can be horrible. It is what we do with our time and against all odds that makes it inspirational, beautiful, and meaningful to others. We are broken vessels, constantly shattered by circumstance, choices, decisions, and time. We're also a beautiful mosaic, showing the cracks and the battle scars in our own unique and beautiful way. It's up to us to decide and become what that mosaic is at the end of our days. So yes, I'm weird. Absolutely. I'm funky looking, unusual mosaic patched together with glue, duct tape, and a little spit polish. I've embraced that fact and will continue to push forward being weird. The best is yet to come. You'll see. If you're weird, you're in the right spot. So let's be weird together, shall we? Why not? What do we got to lose? Here's how we kind of bring it all home here, right? So putting lessons learned into action. So after we hung out at the beekeeping community, listened to presentations at BeakMeet 2024, and mulled over the five lessons learned all week, my brain really got churning. It really did. I always think better when I'm traveling, and I had a long drive home on Sunday, another work trip all last week that gave me a lot of time to think, plot, and plan. Of course, times like these always makes Jules nervous because the deep thinking like this always results in some big shift or epiphanies. Well, this time it was no big exception. I really mulled over the conversations with the young homesteader from Wausau, John Hill starting a business presentation, and Greg Burns beekeeping on a small homestead presentation. We didn't even really talk about that. Each conversation and presentation had made a huge impression on me. And somewhere between New Richmond and Ladysmith, Wisconsin, it was like somebody literally forced my hand open, pushed a master key into it. I was able to open a rusted and stubborn lock and pushed open the stuck door in my brain. Okay? It's no secret. I've been grieving about selling Driftless Oaks Farm and essentially leaving homesteading. I felt like I was leaving homesteading. I felt like a failure in the homesteading community. It didn't work out right. I see all these other people, it's working out right. For me, it didn't work out right. Even though we escaped the chaos and crime of the big city and moved to a remote farm, finally, with 10 acres, somehow my dreams for a homestead and gardening business didn't quite work out at all. It blew up in my face, in fact. The rusted lock would not open. The door would not budge. And I think the reason was because it wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right time. It just wasn't right for those things to work. We needed to make a change. We needed to pivot. And we needed to find a new place to live. And when we made that decision, my dream life as a homesteader seemed to be over and die. I wanted to kind of distance myself from homesteading stuff and things. And somewhere along the way, I forgot the basic principle that Harold Thornborough talked about all the time on the Modern Homesteading Podcast. You can create a homestead right where you are. You don't need 10 acres or even 1 acre to homestead. People get into homesteading for a variety of reasons. But if you stand back and look at it, people get into homesteading to be a little more independent, a little more resilient, a little more self-reliant. Homesteading is so many things to so many people, and it's generally about growing, raising, or making your own nutritious real food, being in and working with nature, creating things and systems that make your life easier or able to resist scarcity, being ready for when times get tough or even when they don't, building community of like-minded folks, and using skills or a surplus to start a small business or trade for other goods and services. So as I talked to the young homesteader from Wausau, we talked about his orchard and how he's going to grow lots of fruit and vegetables while making mead from the honey from his bees, from his own property. We talked about his neighbor who had pigs and the other neighbor who had beef and the eggs and how he could barter and trade for those things. I thought about John Hill and his explosive growth at Hillco. He had experienced that explosive growth since 2022. It was exciting to hear his story, and his words of advice were spot on and resonated with me. I've been holding back, waiting for the perfect moment to launch something, like a true Capricorn does. You have to see the need and just take that first step, like I've talked about so many times, especially at the end of the last two episodes of Small Scale Life Podcast, and probably the end of this one as well. Sometimes you need to take that leap of faith and just start. Then I thought about the cool homesteading stuff Greg Burns tried on his little farmstead in Ohio. And while I'm not going to have bees and the animals, the pigs, the goats, the cows, the chickens, or the ducks that Greg and Susan had, I can experiment and create systems that will make our property work with and for us. So let me say that again. I'm going to experiment and create systems that make our property work with and for us. So here's what we're going to do, take the next steps forward. My drive home on Monday, I got really excited. I got so excited that my therapist said I was glowing on our call on Tuesday. She said that I'm usually a really nice and upbeat guy, but I was literally glowing and effervescent on the call. I had to laugh, but I know it's true. I had to laugh some more because I have the most unusual therapy sessions. We talk about healthy eating and gardening and homesteading as much as we talk about the mental and emotional stuff and things. I truly do have the best therapist in the world. And if you don't have somebody like this, well, you need to find one and get one like this. And it was like suddenly that rusted lock popped open and that freaking stuck door opened up, creaked open slowly, right? And suddenly I was getting these ideas and thoughts about what comes next. I got really excited to build my garden and create some really cool and productive spaces here on this half-acre lot. The raw elements are here, and we now have the time and capacity to implement change and create something beautiful and productive on this property. It is already beautiful on the shores of the Willow River, but we're going to take it to the next level. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. For what comes next, you have to stay tuned to the Small Scale Life Podcast. I have some weird shit to do. I have some weird shit to do. So I will have to take a pause and get those things done before writing or recording more. Don't worry. We're going to come back really soon with more good homesteading, gardening, and wellness stuff and information. We will. I've already got another post going, and we're going to get it going for y'all. So you'll see what I'm talking about in the near future. And really, that concludes this episode of Small Scale Life. I just got some business items to clean up here next. So, I appreciate you all. First of all, this is most important. I do appreciate everybody listening to the Small Scale Life Podcast and hanging with us for all these years. And for all the new folks coming in, we're going to be here. So don't worry. Keep listening. We'll keep producing podcasts. And we're going to have Julie on real soon. Got some other invites to great folks I've had on before. We're going to have some people back on the show. Catch up with them. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned. Julie's our next guest, though, and it's going to be a lot of fun catching up with her and Willow River Yoga and all the things she's got going on. Another announcement. So on April 1st, that is next Monday, April 1st, 2024, we are running another Whole 30 challenge. So Jules and I are going to facilitate this through the Small Scale Life Wellness Club and on smallscalelife.com. So if you would like to sign up, I will have a landing page on smallscalelife.com. So go find it and you can join. There is no charge for this. It's free. We'll just be figuring this out together. So we just got done with the Whole 30. I did lose some weight on it. I feel really good. Jules says I'm looking good. And I will take her word for it. She's got a better eye than me. Wink, nudge. Come join us. It is not a diet. It's not a lifestyle, but it is a challenge where you're cutting out processed foods. You're cutting out breads. You're cutting out dairy, legumes, alcohol, soda, and you're going for 30 days to essentially detox and then bring stuff back in to see how your body reacts. And I can tell you that I do react to sourdough, and I do react to bread, and I do react to dairy. So there you go. We've learned some new things on the way. And even rice, there was a reaction there, but not what I expected. So yeah, we're learning all kinds of things with the Whole 30 challenge. And I encourage you, if you want to restart and recharge, actually restart, if you want to restart, try the Whole 30 challenge with us. It'll be interesting and fun. We'll be having check-ins. We'll use the 24-hour plan and get going. So, and the third thing, if you are a subscriber to the Small Scale Life email list, we're going to be purging that out. If you would like to stay on that, reach out to me at realsmallscalelife@gmail.com. We're going to be building a new list and sending out regular emails. We'll have some new downloads for you all, some new things. The seed saving guide, or the seed starting guide, is still there. Also, the 24-hour plan. We'll clean that up a little bit and allow you all to get those documents. So let me know. Head on over to smallscalelife.com and sign up for the email list, and we'll keep you in there. So other than that, I hope you all are having a great day. Get your seeds planted. Spring is going to get here. It's taken a little longer to get here than we thought, but that's okay. That's part of nature, part of life. And we'll be starting the garden content real soon. Got seedlings popping up in the soil right now, and I'm super excited about that. So garden content is coming back here to the smallscalelife.com. I hope you're ready for it. We've got lots to talk about. So in the meantime, I hope you all have a great week. I thank you all for listening, and I hope you all continue to learn, to grow, and be a little better every day. We'll talk to you real soon.
As we close this episode of the Small Scale Life Podcast, remember this: keep going, keep going, keep going. It might seem like an impossible thing to achieve your goals, like starting a small business, losing that stubborn weight, tackling your debt, or becoming that person you always wanted to become. But it is achievable. It's achievable. You can do it. You need to put one step in front of the other. But you have to begin that journey by making a decision and taking that step forward. So, start. Take a deep breath and take that first step. You can do it. We're here to help. This is Tom from the Small Scale Life Podcast, reminding you to learn, do, grow, and be a little better every day. We'll be back real soon. Take care, everybody.
The weather outside has been frightful. It's been snowing 3 days, but inside it's delightful. Hey, happy spring, everybody. It is Tom from the Small Scale Life Podcast. Happy St. Patrick's Day, too. Well, it's spring, but we've just made it through about 3 days of snow. So it's time to think spring. It's time to think about projects coming up. It's time to think all that stuff after I shovel.
One more important note, Small Scale Life reminds you that we are not licensed doctors, therapists, healthcare professionals, or financial professionals. You should always consult a professional before starting any practice. All information shared on Small Scale Life or the Small Scale Life Podcast are for informational and inspirational purposes. Results will always vary, and participation in any practice or activity is completely voluntary and at your own risk. That said, keep learning, doing, growing, and being a little better every day. You've got this.